If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za. Pivot Point
on Kaya Biz.
Kickstart your small business with a starter bundle from Nedbank and enjoy a range of free transactions for 6 months. Apply on the Money app today.
7 minutes after 7 o'clock, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Gugule Tumfupi. You might have heard in the previous hour that we covered a number of conversations for you. Naturally, picking up on the market performance, which did have a slightly softer day. Yep, we close off in negative territory. Currency-wise, we're okay. But of course, all eyes have been on Trump. And he, just over an hour ago, actually spoke and delivered an address at the World Economic Forum. And it seems as though he wants a calls for a cut in oil prices to take place. Yeah, this after signing to move out of the Paris Accord and Paris Agreement. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting time when it comes to the environment. We also gave you an overview of the World Economic Forum and some of the conversations that have been taking place there with business and additional leadership, and overall a synopsis of what's been taking place. And of course, a moment ago, we spoke to Loyiso Boyce, MD of Chlorofor, just to reflect on what it is that we do see as an outcome of the banks raising awareness around credit card fraud, or rather debit card fraud as well, specifically when it comes to toll gates, which has been picked up by Nedbank as an institution. We gave you an understanding into how some of this technology works and how the fraudulent activity does unfold. A few of you have sent messages. I see one here who says, "Hey, cuckoo, in God we trust, everything else we pay cash." So clearly, that's how we're responding to the concerns around toll gate fraud. There's also another one from Ten Bar that says, "Wow, cuckoo, this was so informative." And that's what we're here for, to make sure that we're all on the same page, we understand key concepts and business dynamics that happen in every aspect of our life. It's not just on the capital markets and the JSE, but the truth is, business is not boring. There's an economic story in everything. And this is something that I am passionate about, but more so continue to be educated on when it comes to the significant leaders that we speak to on a day-to-day basis. Every other week, we might talk about markets, and every other time there's a significant business story, you probably hear me mention these words, that we're going to speak to someone who not only tickles my brain cells, but has such a formidable mind that helps us understand and distill key business and economic concepts. Whether it's talking about the markets, company results, corporate activity, mergers and acquisitions, and even business failures that have taken place in the past. Our next guest is someone who has a significant passion for contributing to society through his knowledge as a professional, but also through helping us as members of the media to share these business stories with you. Stay with us. We're going to talk all things Pivot Point.
Pivot Point
on Kaya Biz.
Zoila Kemguni, Chief Investment Officer at Benguela Global Fund, joins us now in studio. I am so happy to see you, sir.
No, thank you very much, Kugu. It's amazing to be here. I haven't been here in a while.
Right?
And
you were here back when Thuli was here with Stevie, right?
Yes. I think COVID changed everything for us, and we moved online.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic to see everybody in real life.
Right? It makes a huge difference. And people might wonder, why am I fanning over Zwelakhe? I think for a lot of people who might not be aware, you've literally seen myself and many of my other media colleagues grow in this industry. I used to speak to you together with Alec Hogg way back in the day, back on MoneyWeb, where all I used to do was read business news headlines. But through ongoing interviews and conversations, you've really helped us shape the realm and our understanding of business news, which, you know, then makes it easier for us to do our job in sharing this with the rest of the Kaya 959 family. So thank you.
I'm simply humbled. I mean, it's a privilege to be able to share the knowledge. And I think there are many of us that came from no knowledge to knowing a lot about markets.
Yeah.
So it's quite a humbling experience always to be talking to you.
Exactly. And we'll talk about your story in just a moment, because it truly is a humble beginnings. But let's talk about what you do now for a moment, Butswelake, Chief Investment Officer at Benguela Global Fund. When you go back to your family and you explain what you do, because when we think investment, with IJSE, but contextualize just the complexities that are folded in your world and day-to-day decisions that you take as a leader.
Yeah, look, I think being a chief investment officer, you're predominantly looking after the investment process, investment philosophy, that you're doing things to that you promise clients you'll do with their money.
Mm-hmm.
So how you invest, you stick to that process. And I think it's also about keeping up to date with what's happening in the market. But then you have to kind of infuse that with forward thinking to say,
yeah,
what could happen if this is happening. I'm listening with excitement about what you're saying about Trump, and it's fascinating stuff that,
right,
that's going to shape markets going forward. So it's my mom, I don't think my mom understands it. She just knows that I invest money for pension funds. That's all.
Oh, I love it. Let's go study pension so much.
I know.
But as you mentioned this, I'm already thinking as well, the investment and asset management space in South Africa is also a very tricky one. There are big, big businesses that are well entrenched in the market. We have a few boutique asset managers as well who have come on board. The rate of transformation might have been slow and perhaps continues to need a bolster and a boost. And coupled with that, it's a highly regulated environment because you're dealing with people's wealth here, quite literally.
Yeah.
How do you navigate this, not only just as an investment manager, but in terms of your entrepreneurial mind and how you got into the space with your partner?
Look, I think I was privileged because I came from an era where there was a struggle for something in this country, people struggling for freedom. And I think at a time when we started, I mean, the question to us was, what is our contribution to the struggle? You had the political struggle,
mm-hmm,
and you now need the economic people that can focus on moving the struggle forward. And sadly, one of the areas that we focused on was to say, we need to globalize investing from South Africa.
Yes.
And with the regulations, with everything, it hasn't been easy, and we're still fighting. But I think it's quite a fulfilling battle in that the impact we've had in terms of training young black graduates, giving them an opportunity where they were not being given opportunity because they didn't have experience. The impact we've had in terms of standing up for the pensioners that are sweeping the streets sometimes.
Yes.
Those things have been very motivating to us. So the battle may be strong, maybe it may be tough, but we remind ourselves that we are not doing this only for ourselves, but we're doing for the greater South Africa.
Share an example of that, because I think when we talk about the investment world, right, it becomes all technical and we talk PE ratios, what's happening with the net asset value and the market cap of this business, and now it's insolvent and delisting, listing. But make it practical, because we all have family and loved ones who have worked hard in institutions,
sure,
and then reach retirement age and are met with a great level of, sure, regret, sadness, and just confusion about not having enough money that they've put away.
Yeah, so I think some of the things that we do, I mean, outside of the hardcore investing, we would go to communities, provide training about shares, but we'd also go into, I mean, we are partners with the Academy. I'm sure I can say that.
Go ahead, sure.
Yeah, with Assisa Academy, mm-hmm, where we train analysts. I was today at the graduation of some of the Assisa graduates on the different courses. And the goal is to empower people with knowledge on one side. And then in the communities, our goal is to help even the small businesses. We go and we look at their businesses and say, you're going the wrong way about it. You don't have proper systems in place to run a business. So it's a multifaceted process, but it's certainly something that we believe has to be done. It is our responsibility as those that got privileged to get knowledge, but also to go to universities to be able to practice in the industry that was previously not open to us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is so important because, as you say, you come from a different generation. Opportunities might not have often been available, but boy, oh boy, did you fight through Putselake. You
hard.
Started off as a security guard. A lot of people aren't familiar with this back in the Val. And here you are, one of the most formidable minds within the world of investments. We don't need to go through the details,
sure,
but sheesh, this is something that a lot of young black South Africans need to hear, that perseverance, discipline, and really applying yourself to the journey can alter not only your life, but the industry and your community that you happen to serve.
Absolutely. And I think the key word there is discipline. I think if you look at what it took a lot of sacrificing everything else around me, and also accepting being humbled to a point where, you know, security guards at the time were not considered to be even working people.
Yeah.
And to accept that, and I think oftentimes we battle with accepting where we are, the stage of your life, and you want to be at a stage higher than where your means can put you.
Mm-hmm.
So I was quite privileged in that regard, that I was quite disciplined, and I focused on saving, I focused on getting to university. I got to university again, and I found that the young kids that were in my class, because I arrived at university, was much older than them.
How old are you?
I was 23.
That's young enough.
So I mean, by then you should be graduate, you know.
True.
So what I found again was they were young and they were full of hubris and didn't focus on their studies. And I just made sure that I study and I execute what I was there for. And I think that discipline has carried me through, even in places like Allen Gray, where it's a tough environment, you have to prove yourself. And that discipline is such a critical thing. Wanting what you have now rather than wanting what you don't have. You know, you can dream about it, you can have ambition, but you have to want what you have, at least enjoy what you have currently.
Got you. After that, there was KD's Asset Management, a few other companies that you went through, earned your stripes. I can imagine just digging in to make sure that you get the experience. But what shifted for you when you met Carl and decided, Carl, we can do this thing, man. Let's open our own asset management firm.
So Carl and I were at Vasti together, and we said to ourselves, we have to start an asset manager. Like right at the adversity.
You decided this in varsity.
Yes.
That's so, confidence at all. We like that.
So we said we don't have experience. We need to go gain experience. And as we went through life, you know, we started businesses on the side. But when we did the nappy business, I actually had an opportunity. Guys at Merchants invited me to come and help them, and I went there and I said to Carl, this is our opportunity to come and practice what we tell clients that we'll do with their money. And we practiced that, and at the right time, I think it was 3 years, and I said, the dream that we've always had is now, we need to take it or we'll never get it again. And we got off. Was a tough start. It took us, I think, 15 months to get our first assets. You're burning cash heavily.
And maybe talk us through that, right? Because no one's just going to come to you and give you a book of even R1 million unless you've got some kind of, you know, skin in the game.
No, it is very difficult. I mean, clients would ask you, Why do you want this? It's a difficult industry, and but I think we persisted. We were also confident about what we could contribute, and I think having a clear vision of why you exist, I think, was a major factor that kept us focused. So if you look at the fact that you pay people and you don't get a salary, and you run for 4 years without a salary, people are getting quite decent salaries in your company, but it is because the dream is so much bigger. You need to make it, sacrifice yourself to build something bigger than you. And I do believe that we have something bigger than us today at Benguela. It is, I often say to my colleagues that it's a national asset. It's not our company.
Yes.
It's a national asset. We're building a business that invests money globally, but that business is also not our own. It belongs to South Africans who had dreams. There are many people who were much clever than us, mm-hmm. who were a lot more capable, but they were not given the opportunities, or the opportunities actually never came their way. And we cannot sit here and think that we are the smartest one. There's a lot about the grace of the Lord that, mm-hmm. that put us through, but also realize that it is something that is not only about us, it was all for black South Africans to say, we can do it. And I believe I can stand here as testimony to say, we can definitely do it. We can invest money globally without fear or favor, and we can compete with the best globally.
100%. You're a numbers guy. Talk us through the metrics here. More than 10 years in the game, how many people you employ, assets under management, if we can go there, and maybe the next ambitions for the business.
Look, we have about 18 people, highly qualified, capable team members. We've got about 6.3 billion in assets under management.
Say that with a B.
With B, 6.3 billion. Look, and like I say, I mean, there's a lot of grace that's been coming our way. You also, if you look at the portfolios that we manage in South Africa and global, because the global is the flagship product that we said we will prove that it can be done from South Africa. There's a lot of there was a lot of skepticism when we started, when people said, how are you going to invest money when you're sitting here? And we did it when we were at bigger companies.
And was this questioning the strategy or the access and the exposure, or even just your technical capability?
The access and the exposure, the technical expertise as well. But I think we've proven that it can be done, and it can be done with any person, black or white. It can be done. It is not something that is privileged to people in London. And I think one of the big things that was motivating us was the fact that South Africans, their money gets managed by foreigners, and they actually end up paying fees overseas. So there's a nationalist interest. You know, Trump talks about America first. We never think about ourselves. So the one thing was to say, we pay fees overseas, and jobs are created overseas. CSI is done overseas, and no skills. We become beholden to the foreign firms. And our focus was to say, we need to bring it back here at home. And I am proud to say that we're running a sizable payroll. That would have been money that was paid in London or New York. It is money that is here making a difference here in South Africa.
Exactly. If you've just caught us this in the middle of our conversation, we are speaking to Zwelakhe Mnguni, who is a co-founder, but more so chief investment officer at Benguela Global Fund. If you typically hear us talk about market themes, trends and stories, we're always in conversation with Zwelakhe to help us contextualize and distill some of these key conversations that we have on the show. Formidable journey that he's led. And as you can tell, not only a key leader within an institution that has really become a national treasure for us when it comes to the investment landscape, but also helping us as ordinary South Africans save for what we all desire, a comfortable life where money and wealth is something that we're able to accrue and attain. And before we wrap up, Butsu, like, I could speak to you for hours on end. I'm so tempted to ask you about Trump now. And maybe let's go there before I make this personal. There's a lot happening in the world, but also you would know, Butsu, like, when we go to these investment conferences, regardless of who's the host, who's the sponsor, who the speakers are, there's always this mentality of it's a VUCA world, volatility, uncertainty, right? And we need to be agile. And when I sit back and I think of the number of conferences I've attended, I can't recall a time where there's never been any volatility. Right? There's Grexit, Brexit, there was a global financial crisis, the tech crunch. Now we're seeing, you know, Trump returning to office. There was the pandemic. There's always some kind of black swan event or black swan season and anxiety that exists. And whilst it works for me and my colleagues because we love the headlines and the dramatic effect we have on the market, but truthfully speaking, as in someone as an investment professional, you know, what's your take on it? You know, because there's always, it makes for vibrant debate and interesting opportunity, but it also needs to speak to, I guess, our emotions and our mindset as investors to just calm down sometimes, which you've often said to us.
I agree. Calm down. I mean, I think Trump is going to be good for America, in my view.
Yeah.
I think he's got a lot of things that he's using against other countries to try and manipulate them. But his focus is more on America. He's going to make mistakes probably. But I think what his actions might be, they might be inflationary in the long term. But in the short term, I think they're going to be beneficial to the U.S. I think we shouldn't discount this artificial intelligence. I think a lot of the analysis there is going to be commoditized. We're going to need people like you who go beyond the basics to actually break down their thinking and forward-looking perspectives to be able to get value out of it. So I think on the oil market, I think he might put pressure on the oil market in the long run once they drill, as he said. But I think the short term might be sanctions against Venezuela, more sanctions against Russia, more sanctions against Iran. They will push the oil price higher, and we'll see inflation maybe resurging globally. So you could see that the interest rate expectations are revised down, or at least interest rate cuts are revised down as inflation becomes stubbornly stuck or persistent. So Trump is going to be a major factor for at least emerging markets, currency, the US dollar. We might see a strength in the short term. As inflation picks up, we might see that it comes under pressure. But I do think that in the long run, he would be good for America. Don't be underweight America as an investor.
Okay. We hear that. So, and now that you're on that point, in my mind, I'm thinking gold or Bitcoin or crypto, right? Because that seems to be the ongoing debate now. Gold's mining stocks have been rallying in the short term, but there's a lot of conversation around crypto.
Absolutely. So I think if you look at that, there is a geopolitical risk embedded into some of these safe haven assets, but there's also economic volatility and those type of things. And think, if Trump gets it right to solve the Ukrainian battle, I think we'll see the geopolitical risk being deflated out of these safe haven assets. So I think you need to think long term about those investments. I do think that the level of debt that's been created, the level of money that's been created by the likes of the US will be inflationary, and therefore gold would probably be a good store of wealth. But I think the likes of Bitcoins, I think they're going to go mainstream by the look of things. I never believed in Bitcoin, to be honest. But it does look like it's going mainstream, and I think that'd be fantastic for investors in the long term.
100%. There's so much more that I want to explore with you, but we're going to do this, Butswelakhe. Take ad break, and then we'll come back to you to continue this conversation, because there's three themes that I want us to touch on. Okay. Investor support, given that you taught us a lot about Steinhoff and was a significant shareholder activist. We'll talk about leadership, and most importantly, the mindset of young investment professionals who are black today, how we need to perhaps rethink the themes around wealth. You're listening to Kaya Biz. It's almost 7:30. I'm having a phenomenal conversation with Zwelakhe Mguni, who joins us as the Chief Investment Officer and co-founder of Benguela Global Fund. It is a Thursday, and that does mean that we have our Pivot Point feature, conversations where we speak to South African and global leaders overall about pivotal moments, pivotal shifts that really have shaped their experience as leaders, the sectors and the environments within which they work, and of course, the themes that they happen to cover. Tonight, I'm in conversation with Zwelakhe Mguni, Chief Investment Officer at Benguela Global Fund Managers. And you would typically know that we've spoken to him many a times about, but Zwelakhe, tell us about this acquisition, make it make sense. Butswelakhe, tell us about this. And that's what I appreciate about you, Butswelakhe, is that you talk us and help us through the journey of understanding the complexities of the business world. We've spoken to you not only about Steinhoff and its calamity and its demise and the concerns that have been raised for shareholders. We also have spoken about the likes of MultiChoice and Canal Plus, which has yet to be concluded, and many other deals that have taken place. And this really speaks to a passion point that you have regarding it's a sense of shareholder activism as well as investor awareness, but also accountability on those who also hold the money bags in capital allocation. Why does that matter to you?
It does, because the investors, you know, we run massive pension fund industry, savings industry, and those investors, a lot of them are people who are sitting with me right now. A lot of them are people who are working in the garage, and the issue is that when companies come and essentially defraud shareholders, it looks like they defrauded fund managers, but fund managers are just a conduit. They actually defrauded the real investors. And I think for me, the exception is, I often think about the security guard and the cleaner on the street, and I often say, they have no one to defend them. And the easy thing for fund managers is to sell their stock and walk away. Yeah. And I mean, we've put ourselves in a lot of risky situations and said, whatever happens will happen, because somebody has to stand up to these people. And the activism comes from the perspective of there has been a lot of incidents where there wasn't accountability, but there was also investors come third best in terms of their investments, and nobody says anything. It becomes acceptable. So the likes of Steinhoff were... It's strange enough, you know, we're talking about it.
The PwC report just came out this week, right?
Shocking stuff.
Crazy. How they helped to it's insane. And international counterparts involved primarily.
But you realize that we are scratching the surface, things are happening within companies. And where it can be found, where it can be challenged, we need to take it on and not just run away. And I think Benguela is one firm that has taken fights even when we didn't own shares. Because as I said, these are our communities that are losing money.
Yeah.
We need to actually stand up for them.
Exactly. Speaking of that note, you've brought this 360. You started your journey as a security guard and now one of the leading founders and investment officers of a formidable asset management firm. Has that shifted and, influenced your leadership style and how you show up as a leader of an important firm?
I think there's two things that are important in leadership. One is empathy. The other one is humility. I think I feel that in, sometimes when I look back, and I have to say, I don't regret being a security guard. I don't regret the journey that I had to walk through, which was tough. I believe that it gave me a good grounding in terms of human values. So you need to have empathy, you need to have humility. I think those two things are quite critical, because with empathy, you can put yourself in other people's positions. So if you work with people or you are serving people, you have to put yourself in their shoes to be able to actually see what is the best course of action.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, you have to also be humble. I mean, to think that you can walk around thinking that you've made it, like I say, we are just conduit sometimes. God's hand is behind us, and you need to also appreciate that you are there to influence and contribute to others.
True.
But also learn from others. You need to be that humble, and I think that for me hasn't changed. And I think I was privileged to have gone through a journey that I went through, because it made me realize what shouldn't be in leadership. The arrogance, the egos, and those type of things, you don't need them.
100%. Butsulake, this has been a formidable conversation with you. Just really understanding more about your journey, your experience, your views on wealth creation. And maybe to conclude the conversation, let's wrap it up there. We've spoken about the markets, what they influence by, how it is that it speaks to the asset management's firm and environment. But ultimately, wealth is what we all want as individuals, even before as organizations. What's the one thing you want us to, I guess, remember or shift our thinking when it comes to wealth and the opportunities that it can provide?
I'd say start small. I started with 50 rand saving. I ended up, when I went to Rao, I had 60,000 rand in my bank account. And if you don't start, or you're hoping that you'll get a massive amount from somewhere, you're never going to start. Mm-hmm. You need to start, even if it's 50 rand, and that 50 rand is actually what created Benguela, if I tell the honest truth.
Yeah.
It is that little start that matters. So you build wealth. You can only build wealth if you start and you are disciplined. So I believe that for wealth, you also, I mean, as you learn, and I think Kaya is doing a great job in terms of educating people, you need to think about asset classes. Equities are the long-term investments. Fixed income are the yield if you want returns, immediate returns. So if you're young, I'd put money into equities. Basket portfolio, make sure that it is diversified. But I would say start as soon as possible and start small if it helps.
100%. Such a pleasure speaking to you, and truly appreciate your time and contribution to the station, to the show, and to our knowledge as well. So a big thank you for not only your efforts, but many of your colleagues and counterparts as well at Benguela Global Fund. It's been a delight speaking to you tonight.
Thank you, Gugu, and thank you to your listeners, and it's been fantastic being here.
Thank you. Thank We're coming though. It's not over. We'll soon talk about Barloworld, what's happening with that deal, multi-choice. There's many others because it's certainly going to be an interesting year in terms of mergers and acquisitions, certainly. A big thank you again to my guest tonight, Zwelakhe Mnguni, who joins us as the co-founder of Benguela Global Fund Managers, but more so the chief investment officer, talking us through his journey, views on wealth, and of course the importance that role that asset management firms do play, not only in the country, but in the livelihoods of anyone trying to build sustainable wealth.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.